I had a good thing to add in this week too. Oh well.
Sucks for you.
Can I tell you what the edit a request could be?
Go ahead.
When we mentioned that camp started this week, finally, to play like some sort of orgasm clip.
Okay. All right.
Like we've been waiting.
Right.
Yeah, we get it.
We understand.
We get it, yeah. Thanks.
Shoot it all over me.
Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. My drunk scale rating right now. Oh, this is going to be a weird one. Hey, I mean, I don't know how to measure it because there's like an L in there. So, well, no, not an L. Well, would it be an L? No.
You can come up with letters.
Yeah.
It could be an O or it could be a G.
I'm not tripping, I'll tell you that. But I have been drinking for a while, so let's go with a
Crippin'
four.
Oh my god!
My drug dealer gave me some tennis shoes. I'm not sure what he laced them with, but I'm tripping balls.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Cartman said that. Some I don't forget when, but
oh, did he? Okay. Is that,
yeah.
I saw it on Facebook. Anyway, yeah, let's go with a four. And let's see if I'm right later on in the show.
We have ways to measure during the show.
That's right. The training camp has begun, and the 2014 season is just around the corner. Saints frenzy's been buzzing across the internet, and even the national media are saying things like playoff, division title, and Super Bowl favorites when talking about the Saints. Many people say this is the best team, at least on paper for now, in Saints history. So you could say expectations are high, and so are some of our numbers tonight. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, what's your high number?
Actually, it's lower than yours.
Oh.
I tried to stick to our arrangement to not drink so much. So.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
How quickly you forget.
I thought it was until training camp began.
It's supposed to be, but, well, you know.
It's supposed to be preseason, right?
So I'm probably just at a 1.5.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. Zero.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Okay. Let's jump to it. Obviously, training camp has begun.
Ejaculating.
Oh! Where to begin for us? Let's talk about Sean Payton doing the pre-camp, what was it, conditioning with the players. I thought that was pretty cool of him, don't you think? Or do
oh,
you
no,
think
doubt.
He's trying to show off?
No. I think it's the kind of like, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm not going to ask you to do anything I can't do. Maybe even motivate the players a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I like the move.
CrossFit from last season, right?
I like the move.
Didn't he have them all doing CrossFit last camp, last year?
Yeah, I think they were doing something of that nature, just because that's what he had done in his exile.
In his exile.
2012. He wasn't here.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to create a little bit of respect. He's a player's coach in the good sense of the word, not the one that that lets the players walk all over him.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will now bring you one of the greatest virtuosos of our time.
I was trying to make a Mike Smith joke.
And oh.
Perhaps it didn't work.
It fell flat.
Good thing I'm editing this week. My plan all along.
Now you have to leave it because
no, I'll replace it with something. People will figure it out.
Yeah. So Sean Payton once again showing the world why he's the best coach in the league, and that's another thing. Am I mistaken? Did you guys read something about that on the interwebs that he is in some list? He's ranked at least number one or number two coach in the league.
Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
I didn't read the article, but I heard about it.
So imagine what the best coach in the league can do with the best Saints roster in the history of the Saints.
Hopefully good things.
they had an interesting question I saw on the internet today about, is Sean Payton going to make it to the Hall of Fame?
I mean, I think so, right?
Not the Saints Hall of Fame. I mean, the real NFL Hall of Fame. I don't think he's done enough yet to warrant the real Hall of Fame.
Would winning this year put him in?
I mean, I think he needs another Super Bowl and a year or two of winning double digit, and then I think he's in. And I say that because, like the people were, some of the commentators were saying, that everybody always says Sean Payton is right behind Bill Belichick, and we all know Bill Belichick is a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame, but he does have three Super Bowls. But anyway, it's an interesting question.
I mean, I guess he's on his way there. He just needs the longevity. Another Super Bowl would obviously be nice for everybody. No, I mean, not that Breezes, not that the question of Breezes, I called him Breezes, is up for grabs, but.
You mean Breeze?
Brief,
right.
The Jimmy Graham caught a touchdown pass in camp yesterday.
He made a one-handed grab today.
Okay. Did he dunk it?
He did dunk it. Right. He's got to get all those out the way before the regular season.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Pleasure to be here.
Welcome to the show. It's an old friend.
Really old. When's the last time this friend was
Blaine,
on?
Yeah, I think for a lot of our listeners, they've never heard Blaine on the show. Blaine was one of the original founding fathers of the Dome Patrol podcast. Welcome to the show, Blaine. You remember the rules? What's your number?
About a 9.7, actually.
Holy
shit. It's been a great day. It's been a great day.
Damn.
I guess if you're going to be off the podcast for a long time, when you do come back, you probably should have
fixing a cocktail right now. I don't normally do hard liquor, but I'm drinking a coconut sparkling water and vodka.
Coconut sparkling water and vodka.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
You got to mix what's on hand. We're out of beer.
I had two of those.
Well, you were there.
It's actually great to be here. It's great to be behind the mic as opposed to being behind the camera. You know, really.
That's right. For those who watch our video casts each year, Blaine does our camera work and editing and posting. And you're a season ticket holder. You sit in the same section as Jason, correct?
Ah, yeah, 648 strong.
So now we outnumber you two. Which, of course, Jeff didn't have the happy day where tickets came in.
No,
like the rest of us.
Actually, I haven't seen my season tickets yet either. So,
not to say
they're not here. I just they're not mailed to my house, so I haven't gotten the word they ever arrived yet. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's run Blaine for to help introduce you to our listeners. And let's give them the gauntlet to help them get to know you. You want to tell a little bit about how you became a Saints fan?
Yeah, actually, I grew up. I wasn't a very avid I wasn't a big football fan growing up. I played high school football, put a very poor taste in my mouth, and visited a Saints game probably about 15 years ago, and just the camaraderie really, really got to me, and ever since then, I've strived to be a season ticket holder, and as soon as I can afford them, I purchased season tickets, so here we are now.
Yeah, this will be this is year 11 for us, because we got them in 04, right?
I have no clue,
I think 04 was the first season we got our season tickets, so yeah, this will be year number 11 for us. Yeah.
And what kind of fans aggravate you the most at the game?
Fans at the game that really take the game a little bit too serious.
So
you know?
Us?
No.
Yeah, right.
No. There are people who go to the game to get mad. They look for reasons to get upset. They look for reasons to bitch and complain, as opposed to sit back and enjoying the beautiful thing that is unfolding in front of them. You know, I mean, we're watching not to compare it to a ballet, but we're watching a symphony. Drew Brees is the conductor, and this isn't something that everybody gets to live in their lifetime to get to witness, to see someone really come throughout their career,
yeah,
and really stand out like that and stick with the team.
And you think some of those people, maybe they're still clinging to the past, like waiting for that hammer to drop. Like this is all.
I guess the saying that aggravates me the most is "same old Saints."
Yeah.
You know, we haven't heard it too much, but anytime you get a bad game, you know, you get those people that are just ready to turn. You know, it's just like, come on now.
And I heard something this week, actually, that I think we need to remember this season for when you do lose, right? Because it's
inevitable.
It's going to happen, right? It's only not happened twice in the regular season for any team, right? But losing, all losing does is put more pressure on you to win. In a good way, the next game, because you only have 16 games. And I think that was actually a Bear Bryant quote, and there's more to it. But anyway, let's keep with your little interview there. Who is your favorite player from the Sean Payton era and your favorite player from yesteryear?
Favorite player from yesteryear? That's a great question. Actually, let me come back to revisit that. I mean, the obvious one from now is Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the hard play of Lance Moore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he did for us. God, in the past. Let's see. Joe Horn. Mm-hmm. Come on now, Joe Horn.
Okay. All right. There you go.
You know, Hollywood Horn. He kind of I don't want to say
was it
he
the
brought...
cell phone gag on the goalpost?
No, but I kind of think he brought the Saints into an era, or he was kind of in the Saints era where they started to become contenders and started to, you know, start making those almost playoff runs where we nearly made the playoffs, you know, and it was something we hadn't seen in years.
Hmm.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Okay. I would have thought maybe like...
What is that? What an asshole answer. Well,
right.
He's like, huh, no, sir, I didn't like
it. I don't remember Jeff Horn. Well, I don't think it was that.
No, sir, didn't like it.
It's not good enough. I would have.
That's a bad answer.
No, I did. Joe Horn wasn't. We weren't making the playoffs with Joe Horn.
We made 2000 with him.
Yeah, right. On, Jason. I mean, Jeff, get with it. I mean, I didn't say we made the playoffs every year, but it was just with when we...
like, no, choose a better player, Wayne. No, I'm kidding. Right.
I mean, it was his first year here we made the playoffs.
Yeah. Come on, Jeff, it's 2000. That's Jason's favorite year because his favorite quarterback was...
I'm getting to that.
Behind center.
Listen, Aaron Brooks is the second highest, has the second highest yards as a Saint quarterback in history. So, I mean,
garbage yards.
Backwards.
Yeah. So, going back to the Dome Patrol podcast, and you were part of the original first episodes and whatnot. Do you still listen to the show?
I do on a regular basis. It's one of the few podcasts, or one of the podcast my regimen that I'll listen to.
All right, excellent. And
Neil deGrasse Tyson, little Harlan Williams. and Gregory Proops.
Oh, that's some good company that we're in on your iPhone. And then the other
Android.
Do you think Aaron Brooks deserves to be in the Ring of Honor?
Yes.
In the Ring of Honor?
Or the Hall of Fame?
The Saints Hall of Fame, yes.
The Ring of Honor.
The National Football League Hall of Fame, no.
No, the new Ring of Honor at the Dome where we put in Archie and Ricky and Willie Rofe last year?
I do believe so, yes.
Huh.
Every answer blame gives everybody. Huh.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Jason. I'm surprised Jason said.
Well, look, he doesn't belong in the Ring of Honor. He belongs in the Saints Hall of Fame. That's what I think. That's all I think. And yet Damon keeps trying to turn it into this love fest, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right. So let's roll with it. Okay, so we covered the Saints started camp, and let's talk about Brandon Cooks. Jason?
I'm excited for Brandon Cooks.
You're buying the jersey?
Got to buy the jersey at some point before the season starts. Jimmy Graham had a comment about Cooks not knowing who he was because Graham hadn't been here in 6 months. So he noticed his speed on the field. I just think the sky is the limit with this kid.
I mean, he definitely had a great practice today.
And well, it is practice. Not even
like I said,
yet.
He had a great practice today.
Right. But look, I'm excited for this kid. Really am.
Well, they've reading the reports. None of us are there, but they've been talking about what a good practice that Tune is having and. Cole, they really expect him
Coleman,
to make. Yeah, Coleman. Sorry, they really expect him to make this team.
Well, he didn't. He didn't look good in OTAs, but
neither did Marcus Colston seven years ago. And look, I mean, we've all been pulling for Tune since he was drafted in 2012. You know, this is his third year, so maybe it takes the receivers sometimes a little bit longer.
At that point.
Right. So maybe he has come his breakout year.
I'm really interested in the dynamic between Cook and Drew Brees is developing over the past few days. The statement that Drew Brees made today that Cook is wide eyed and just ready to absorb all information. You know, it just seems like it's going to be another Jimmy Graham Marcus Colston type relationship where they. It's almost symbiotic, you know. They kind of know what the other one's going to do before it happens. It just seems like it's leading that way.
I like
it's
that
early.
Too.
It's early, and I'm making drunk predictions, but I mean that's what this is about.
Yeah,
well, look, we're all homers in here, you know. I mean,
I wasn't at practice. I'm just going off what I hear and what I read. So
I agree. What I like the most too. From what I've read is everything that you hear about Cooks he's doing all the right things. He's approaching things the way that you want a guy to approach things. You know,
I mean the direct quote from Drew Brees on Cook was, it says, feed me the information. He absorbs it quickly and goes out and applies it. I'd say that's very rare for a young guy. Typically they're head spinning for a little while. It doesn't seem it's like anything too big for him, you know. So it almost seems like he's a second season player. This isn't his first camp, you know. He knows the system.
He's gonna need to step in and be strong too with Kenny Stills getting hurt.
But no, I think that just only allows him more exposure. I mean, poor Kenny Stills, but.
You wouldn't think Stills' injury is that serious.
No, but at this time, I mean, Cooks needs all of the reps he can get. You know, he needs to be with those NFL football players.
I think Stills does, too. Yeah. I mean, Stills is only in his second year.
Yeah, he can't sit still, though.
No. So speaking of injuries, so other than Stills getting hurt and Bird on the PUP list, does anybody know of any other nagging...
Nothing yet. Just Jenkins started on the PUP. But other than that, nothing so far.
So how long is Jairus Byrd going to be?
You know, with Peyton, we'll never know that. With Sean Peyton, he's tight-lipped on it. I mean, we all know why he's on PUP. I mean, we all know it's because of his surgery. So
But didn't you, Damon, predict that this might, or one of you guys predicted this might actually be
that
a little
me.
Bit more than what than what Peyton led us to believe when they first mentioned the surgery?
Well, again, we always say that because we all know Sean Payton doesn't like to
right.
give out a lot of information on injuries.
I mean, but he did. Peyton has mentioned that it was ahead of schedule. His progress was ahead of schedule. He worked out.
I'm not going to say that.
I mean, he worked out on the sidelines today.
At least it's something. He's out there.
He's out there so moving.
They're just playing it safe. No
he's
need
not
to.
Still.
He was. I mean, he did carry a helmet, okay? He didn't put it on, but he carried it. So it's a step.
As long as he's ready for week one in Atlanta, that's all I care about.
Well, that's the bit. I guess that's the question I'm trying to get. Ask is how long? I mean, is he out all preseason?
No, he's. I would think another week or two.
Yeah, I mean,
just a guess, but I obviously have no idea. That's just my guess.
He's catching balls. He's catching balls right now. He's just really not getting hit. So, how long until the season? How many games we got until regular season? I mean, how many weeks? Is it on the 19th?
First game is going to be on September 7th.
Okay. So we get about
a month-ish?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks.
You got like 43 days.
6 weeks.
Like I said, a month-ish.
Month and a half.
Whatever, it's just shit days.
He said shit days.
But it's right. it does not concern me, but it is interesting that he's not here. The Bird isn't ready for camp. I mean, I'm like y'all, we know with the back surgery.
We were told it was nothing. We were told it was insignificant and nothing.
Right. I believe he had a herniated disc. Am I wrong in my thinking? And
I never could find exactly what it was.
Right. I mean, I can't imagine that's very. I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna say something stupid here. That it's not very invasive. I mean, but I guess anytime they cut on you, I mean, it's not a good thing. So I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing too is this surgery. If it's what some doctors predicted, it wasn't a cut. It was what's
left. Well, you had the cut in his butt. You shave off a little bit of the bone.
You said butt.
But it was, yeah, sure did.
Baum said butt. I could have sworn again. When I went back and read, because y'all were all about anytime you get cut, it's major surgery. But from what I read, some doctors that said if it's this, then it's not a major surgery. It's not a cut. It's not this kind of thing.
If they did the arthroscopic, I'm wondering if that's what you're trying to say.
Laparoscopic.
Oh, I'm not even sure what that is.
Me neither.
That's when you get your lap scopric.
we have no business talking about these medical terms, so we're just gonna stop now.
Can we get Jason's dad on here?
Yeah, or his brother. I mean, anyway, let's move on. Receivers in camp seem to be getting in the first 2 days the best of the defense, and that opens our what's up with that segment. 'Cause I got to say. So yeah, like okay, Rob Ryan, is he trying some new things or just kind of is it pay attention to who's getting what? For example, like undrafted rookie receiver Brandon Coleman had a nice catch over Corey White. Well, of course he,
You say that, but they said Corey White's played a little at the safety, a little at the nickel. They're just moving around. They seem
really
to be
find a place for him to excel at.
They seem to be pretty excited about it, but it's day two of practice. I don't take in a lot of stock that the offense, had a great day. I mean, it's going to happen. You're going to have days where one dominates the other.
So we have seven receivers right now at camp.
Wow. June.
We've got
still,
Cook, Colston, Coleman, Stills, Meacham, Morgan, and Toon.
Don't forget Jeff's boy.
Who's the head?
Andy Tanner.
No, that's not my. That's Adam's boy. And Courtney.
I know they were.
Andy Tanner really there? Is he there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Way to go, Andy.
They were trying out a bunch of different guys at the kick and punt return spot. Cooks did a little bit. Pierre Thomas did a little bit. Cadet did a little bit. Even your boy Andy Tanner did, or Adam's boy Andy Tanner did a little bit. Just trying to see
like
if somebody could.
Adrian Arrington ought to be there. Get the old band back together.
he had his chance, poor guy.
Let's hope Nick Toon doesn't turn into Adrian Arrington.
Yeah.
Fantastic training camp guy and then just can't get it done.
So
hopefully,
far.
Hopefully not.
Well, I think, like Damon said, 3 years is pretty much your point where I would say if he doesn't perform this regular season, then we move on.
With who, Andy Tanner?
No.
Andy Tanner, yeah.
Yeah, pretty Nick sure Tanner. Andy Tanner's gone, yeah.
Did
you say Danny Tanner?
Has anybody heard anything about Stanley Jean-Baptiste? I know we were all high on him when he was drafted, and I know it's only 2 days in. The whole episode is...
Everything's just 2 days.
So don't say it's just 2 days in, because if you haven't heard anything on him, but you have heard on other people, like Cooks, what's the deal? And again, not to say that he's not going to perform, but is he not... It's a pretty deep area that he's playing, too, right? I mean...
There's a lot of guys fighting for that spot. You know, Robinson, White, Champ. He should make the team, but I don't know if he's just going to be special teams at first or if he's actually playing time. But we got a lot of practices to come to figure out.
And there's no pressure for him to perform right away either, which is good.
Whatever. It's like I said, 2 days. So I would imagine we'll see a lot of Jean-Baptiste in the preseason game.
You can't say whatever 2 days and dismiss things. First
I'm not
of all,
but I just can't.
You can't say that because you highlight the highlight ones and you can't dismiss the not heard ofs at the same time. As well as I believe if I read some texts from you earlier this week, I think you ejaculated at one point when camp started. Or what did you say?
I'm excited. Camp's here. Or maybe
right.
So, I mean, quit saying it's just 2 days.
He's pre-jacked. I mean.
Right.
You can't say it's just 2 days. We're excited. We're doing a show because it's been 2 days.
But, I mean, you can't question what's going to happen with a rookie 2 days.
I'm not questioning. Oh, I have to. Actually, I have to question or else we don't have anything to talk about. So.
No, we do. You just don't have to mention that. You mention it when something good happens.
Well, no, he's the number two draft pick. We got
second round draft pick, yeah.
Yeah, our second pick, but you gotta talk about him.
Well, when we hear more about from him, we'll be able to talk about him. We're not there. It's not like I went out to practice yesterday and just watched him.
It's just a status check. All right, we're taking roll calls. Is he even here? All right. It is hard to talk about camp with 2 days because, I mean, what are you going to say? Like, okay, a couple of guys caught the ball, a couple of guys defended the ball. Everybody's saying we did that part. Everybody's saying positive things about stuff. Other than that, there's nothing else to talk about.
But my cousin Walter jerked off in public once. True story. He was on a plane to New Mexico when all of a sudden the hydraulics went. The plane started spinning around, going out of control, so he decides it's all over and whips it out and starts beating it right there. So all the other passengers take a cue from him and they start whipping it out and beating like mad. So all the passengers are beating off, plummeting to their certain doom, when all of a sudden, the hydraulics kick back in and the plane rights itself. It lands safely, and everyone puts their pieces or whatever, you know, away and deboard. Nobody mentions the phenomenon to anyone else.
Well, did he come or what?
Jesus Christ, man. There's just some things you don't talk about in public.
All right. Let's move on to our next segment because there's really not much else that we can say about the camp.
A camp other than Bubba Watson was out there in practice with him for a day.
He didn't practice. He was out there. That's pretty
cool. Well, right. He didn't. He was out there. He didn't practice.
Didn't he drop a ball?
He did drop a ball, yeah.
Okay. Did he get hurt?
He's no Nick Toon.
The golfer, Bubba Watson, was playing with the Saints?
Yeah.
He wasn't playing with the Saints.
Right. He was out there watching practice.
He was playing, not playing with them, like just playing with them.
Hanging out.
Wow. I totally contradicted myself. Not playing with them. I mean, playing with them.
Like in a biblical way, are you talking about? I mean, I don't get it.
No, he wasn't playing with them, and he wasn't playing with them. He was just playing with them. All right, what are you looking forward to in the first preseason game? Let's move on to preseason.
The beginning of football season, honestly, that's about it.
Well, who are you looking forward to maybe honing in on?
Besides Cooks, I mean, obviously we're all excited about Brandon Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason is such a just a let's see who's going to make the third string that –
I disagree. I think you not necessarily. I think you got some people fighting for. I mean, what about Victor Butler? Is he coming in to make the third string?
No, I think he's gonna. He probably end up starting. I would think.
No, he ain't. He's not gonna start over. He's not gonna start. I mean,
so if you go,
you start roughly two receivers. I mean,
well, if they really truly do switch back to a 3-4, you're gonna have Hicks. Bunkley, Jordan as three, then you're going to have Gillette on one side. Who's going to be on the other side?
I thought he said Morgan. I thought he said Joe Morgan. I'm sorry.
Who?
Victor Butler, Joe Morgan don't even sound similar.
I could have swore he said Joe Morgan.
I said Victor Butler.
Obviously, we know who Damon's thinking about.
I said three.
No, I said Victor Butler, and I did wonder, I let it slide when you said receivers, and I'm like, maybe he's looking for a lot of turnovers this year, I don't know. All right, so our first preseason game is August 8th, right?
It's next Friday, right?
It's my birthday.
It is Friday after next.
That's the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, I know.
I thought we had a game...
No, the NFL Hall of Fame game is next week.
Who's in that?
Seattle in it?
If only there was some sort of a device we could use to look that up.
No, you don't know anything about that device, Jeff.
I mean, excuse me, I know I joined late, but have we talked at all about the whole Jimmy Graham issue and him finally speaking on his contract?
I thought you listened to the show.
I did, but that just recently happened. Like, he spoke about it today. Today was the first day that he spoke about his contract. I know he got signed, but today he spoke about it.
I think you just put it behind him and everything's pretty cool.
All right, thank you. All right, never mind. I have nothing else to add.
I know Mickey spoke in his program, just said he's, you know, it's a negotiating thing. He's glad to get it put it behind him. Jimmy said he didn't spend a lot of time with Vilma this summer.
That he did spend a lot
he
of time.
Did. He did. They spent a lot of time working. That's all he did was work.
Right. Well, we have not mentioned that Jimmy Graham, how did we miss this? He came in first in the conditioning.
Conditioning.
Thing.
Yeah.
Do we also mention that he played basketball in college?
Who is this Jimmy Graham?
So the Hall of Fame game.
Did y'all know Matt's here?
What? Where?
Matt's here, and he wanted to speak about the Saints hotel,
Jimmy Graham's wallpaper
room. Yeah.
The floral. You know what I say about Jimmy Graham's wallpaper? That's what you get for waiting until the last day to sign your contract. You get the floral wallpaper room.
Actually, I do believe there's Saints players sharing a bed, if I'm not mistaken.
There were Andy Tanner. Speaking of Andy Tanner, yeah, there was a mix up with him, and I'm not sure who the other guy was, but yeah, they did have to share a bed, but they quickly got that. That fix. That was just
the JK bedroom.
I'm just saying. Would you rather have floral? I'm just saying. Would you rather have floral patterned wallpaper or have to share a bed with another guy?
Yeah, no, they were literally sharing a bed, Jeff. They only had one bed.
And it wasn't like it was a very big bed either.
And these are big human beings.
These are big
men. Talk about Sean Payton's strategy to create a close team.
Well, he's also, I don't think they have Wi-Fi in their rooms either.
Oh, by the way, that was done on purpose. I know your father. August 3rd is the Hall of Fame game.
Giants-Buffalo.
Yeah. That's a Sunday on NBC. Okay. Next topic. Let's throw out the
Saints may have the opportunity to tackle the first homosexual American football player.
Well, they won't tackle him considering he's a defensive end, right? Or a linebacker.
Well, I guess you're right.
He's going to try to tackle us.
Yeah, I misspoke. Said it was a nice social commentary on our society. Kind of just shows you, you know.
Damon, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Damon, tell us your thoughts on that.
What? I don't have any problem with him.
Okay.
Excellent.
I mean, I don't have any problem. Look, the only thing I ever had a problem with, like everything else, I do have a problem, is everybody else making a big deal about it. Don't sit here and tell me something's not a big deal to make a big fucking deal about it. Okay, go fuck yourself. I mean,
media's going to make a big deal out of it, but to you or to the common normal person that grew up in a normal society is going to be like, okay, who cares?
Exactly. Look, look at football. Like I said, I'd have Hitler on the team if he could win me a Super Bowl. Okay? Hitler. Yeah. I mean, and I would be none too ashamed as long as he's winning Super Bowls.
Well, he'd be a great
leader. That's kind of a little bit fucked up, but I agree with Jeff. He would probably be a very, very good motivational speaker.
Definitely.
Sorry.
I mean, and I'm stealing this joke from, I think, Last Comic Standing, but Hitler... It was he led an entire country of people to fight for the supremacy of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, and he himself had dark hair, and they followed him. I mean, you know, so yeah. Anyway, why are we telling Hitler jokes?
Back to football. Sorry about that.
We just lost all of our listeners from Israel.
Well, Europe. I'm sure the Europeans aren't really particularly happy with Hitler.
The Polish or not.
Or the French. Or the no one really.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go back to... He ruined a mustache option for everybody.
You know, that's the God's honest truth. I'm thinking about shaving my mustache when I get rid of it, of making it like Hitler's mustache and keep it.
Oh, my God.
All
right,
back to football.
Well,
we just lost eight more.
I think it's time for a Dome Patrol checkpoint.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying...
All right. Yeah, I'm still probably at 4.5.
Okay, I'm going to go with a 2.4 and a couple of beers.
I'm still working on that same old vodka and coconut soda.
I'm still sitting here at a 0.
Just getting silly from here, folks. Okay, something else I'm looking forward to in the first preseason game is and I'm not sure that we're going to really see it, but Sean Payton and Carmichael getting the plays in fast enough that we don't have so many potential delay of games. In last year,
I thought you were going to say Sean Payton and how much he's been doing CrossFit.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, I mean, he's just bowed up. But
I do agree with that. There does need to be a little more up-tempo. I think that'll help our offense keep the defense on their heels.
And I wonder what happened last year, why it did seem like...
He thought a little more.
Yeah, definitely more so than in years past under this regime, because a lot of times, even at home, you know, we know we had some problems in Seattle, mm-hmm. but even at home we were having problems get the play in, had to use some timeouts, got a couple of penalties. So
maybe that's just Peyton coming back after the year away from the game, kind of a little
overthinking things,
or just not, you know, just not being like you think he was when he's grinding every single day. You know, I mean, he had a whole year off.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been a factor.
Okay. It's true. It probably might have been knocking off a little rust. I think also maybe overthinking some things that maybe, which just goes in the knocking off the rust, overthinking things because it's not as instinctive as it was then. But the other part of it is, didn't Drew Brees get blamed for a few of those, like where the play was in, and Drew Brees himself kind of let the clock run down. So I just hope they're working on that in camp. And
Drew Brees would never do a thing like that.
Okay. Next segment.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Sports Illustrated. Damon, you brought this one to the table. Why don't you introduce the topic?
Yeah, no, Sports Illustrated ranked the safeties. And obviously...
In the league.
Well, yes. No, Jeff. Just on the street. Yes, in the league. And...
Maybe on the team. I don't know.
No, in the whole league. And obviously, I mean, I guess it's not obvious, but our boy Jarris Bird came in at number three.
Oh, you mean Jay Bird?
Yeah. He came in at number three, and, you know, they talked about just how what a ball hawk he is. But what really impressed me more, they had, and you know, they did the top ten. But they had honorable mention, Kenny Vaccaro. And what they said was, let me read it here for you. Vaccaro is on the verge of stardom. He approached that level during a standout rookie season, and now with Jarris Bird by his side and another year in Rob Ryan's defensive system under his belt, he could turn quickly into a perennial All-Pro. I thought that was very nice to. We all know it or think it or hope it or whatever it is. I'm a homer. I distrust myself when it comes to the Saints. Much like Jason's, you know, undying love for Aaron Brooks.
Listen, Aaron Brooks wasn't a terrible quarterback. I mean, he might have thrown a ball or two behind the line of scorer. No, he threw...
All right. Well, hold on. Let's not get off on Aaron Brooks.
All right. Okay.
Like Jake does. You see what I did there? You see what I did there?
Jason's learned. Just let it pass by like a wave in the, on the beach. And then see back into the ocean, and we'll continue with the show. Okay, so Bird was ranked number three. Kenny Vaccaro got some mention. I love how we pay attention to national media when they say positive things, and when they say negative things, we say, fuck them, they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, sometimes they get things right, that's all I can tell you.
And then the NFL officials clinic happened this week.
Right, and it was a tweet from Mike Piera, who, if I'm not mistaken, used to be the head of the officials.
Coach Mike Pecoraro?
No, Mike Piera. Anyway, he tweeted out, interesting day at NFL officiating clinic. Biggest point of emphasis for 214, illegal contact and defensive holding. You know,
thank y'all for coming in with that one.
Do y'all think that is a response?
Yep.
To direct response to Seattle in their
absolutely
touchy-feely way? Kind of nice.
I mean, the NFL is a knee-jerk reaction company. They see something, they're like, oh, we need to fix it right away. They, you know, and I think this is a case of it.
Right. So, you know, you can't say it's like, you know, the Favre rule, where when Brett Favre didn't get to touch the ball in 2009, they had to go change
overtime.
The overtime rules.
Or the Brady rule.
You know.
Tuck rule, yeah.
Right, or the Brady rule. So, I mean, this isn't really the Seattle rule, because technically they're not, you know, we're not asking them to make any rules, we're just asking them to enforce the ones, you know. We're just asking them to enforce the ones that are on the books now. But it's still nice to...
Is it legal on a state level or a federal level? Because that's where it matters.
Especially in Washington State.
Exactly. Ba-doom-tsh.
Neither two.
I see what you did there.
All right, thank you.
Snap, snap, ring, ring, wing, wing. I should not say no more.
You have defended a receiver before.
Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Bet up. Bet, bet up. Bet, bet, bet up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Bet, 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 set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Bet up. Bet, bet, bet up. But, here's what we do. We will set up. Bet up. Bet up. Here's what we do. We will set up.
Oh, that was a very interesting point that you just made. How's that for him? I will now segue into another topic. Marshawn Lynch is holding out on the Seahawks. How does that make you feel?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Jason, you wanted to talk about that one, right?
Yeah, it's fuck Seattle. Good, let him hold out. It sounds like Seattle's not going to really cave. Like, they're standing pretty firm that they're not going to renegotiate. So I'll take any kind of turmoil in Seattle I get. Fuck them. You want to build the tip? Build the fucking tip.
Yeah, that's one of the we must have read the same article, Jason, because, right, they were saying that, like you said, they're not planning on really renegotiating with him because he's in the second year of a four-year deal. He's in the third year of a four-year deal that was front-loaded. And
he wants more money?
Well,
right, he wants more money now because it's probably the last chance he can.
Right, he's 29. But, like, the deal, he was paid an average, you know, the four-year deal, the average $7 million a year. And he's about fourth on the list. I know he's behind AP. I forget who else he's behind. So it's not like he's being necessarily underpaid, you know. I'm not really sure that Seattle, yeah, he's a very, very good running back. I don't know if he's great. I mean, I'm not going to say he's a Hall of Famer, but, you know, it might hurt them if he's not there, but it won't cripple them. You know, they're known for their defense and more so Wilson. So I don't really know I mean, I know he wants more money, but fuck, we all want more money. I mean,
he wants
more
Skittles.
He did also see just Jamal Charles did the same thing, said he was going to hold out, and then Kansas City gave him a 2-year extension with a bunch of money, you know, money up front.
Well, but
he is younger.
He was being, I guess, you know, more underpaid more so than Lynch. Lynch just signed a deal. Again, he's fourth.
Yeah, but I don't think Charles signed a deal that long ago. Now, maybe it wasn't for as much money.
Well, exactly. Kansas City wasn't doing well. They didn't have this. So, I don't know, but I would guess that he was probably a little bit underpaid. That's not the case with
Lynch. Yeah, he was paid accordingly, and he's hitting. I mean, I don't blame him for trying to get more money, but just I'm glad that it's happened in the fucking Seahawks.
You hold out, Lynch. Come on.
Yes, hold out.
Keep doing it.
And then who retired from Seattle? One of the wide receivers retired.
Sidney Rice.
Sidney Rice.
Yeah, but he wasn't that big of a factor last year for him anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Right. Thank you.
But it is pretty wild.
It's nice to see them lose people.
Only 27 years old and already retiring concussions.
Yeah.
It's a sad story. But
yeah, they'll do that.
But that's what you get for making millions. Save your shit and invest in fucking good insurance.
All right, let's move on. In other NFL news, apparently if you smoke weed, you're suspended for a year. But if you beat your wife, it's just 2 games. And, of course, I'm talking about Ray Rice.
That's a great story. Beating your wife isn't legal in any state in the United States, right?
Not that I know of.
I'm not a lawyer.
That's assault, brother.
But I'm pretty sure that recently there has been several states that have legalized both medicinal and recreational marijuana use. So it's a hypocrisy, I feel.
Wait, pot's legal?
In Washington and Colorado
for recreational use.
Yeah, you just go buy it.
Yeah, that my sarcasm
didn't come across. Yeah. Not at all.
Terribly.
I mean, Scott Fujita said it best, you know.
Sent a message
to his wife and his daughter via Twitter saying that, you know, the business that he's a part of doesn't really care about women. You know, I watched a Ray Rice video. The first few times I watched it, I was like, oh, he's just dragging a his drunk wife out of a elevator. It's her fault for drinking too much.
Literally dragging?
Well, yeah, he dragged her out.
Yeah, he dragged her out.
No, well, Jeff, I guess you haven't seen the video. He knocked her out.
Right, that's what they don't show us. That's what I failed to find out until I did a little further research.
The video hasn't come out of him actually hitting and knocking her.
Under the assumption she drank too much and he was just having to drag her to the car. No.
Right.
He knocked her out and then drug her to the car. He punched her, knocked her, or I don't know if he punched her, but from what I've read, excuse me, this is non...
If it really did happen, and there really is video footage of it, you would think Goodell would have had to at least seen it.
He did.
Whoa. Since when does Goodell use evidence?
Well, okay, yeah, good point. But it just looks...
Don't give that motherfucker fucking shadow any kind of credit.
Now, I mean, some of the drug stuff, it's all collectively bargained, but Goodell still does have that personal conduct policy that he kind of just wields at his discretion. I mean, it's crazy that Fujita got suspended for more games for, you know, listening to a coach or whatever the hell Goodell said he did over a guy who supposed, you know, allegedly knocked out his wife. Like, that's pretty absurd.
Well, no, it's not alleged that Ray Rice did it. Ray
he did it.
Rice.
Why haven't we? Then why haven't we seen the? I want to see the video.
Why?
Just to,
but why is it our business? What, that's my
what,
thing.
What,
why,
just to verify
it's
that
known,
he.
It's
I mean.
Known.
Well,
he came out and admitted it.
I mean, it's not.
Okay. Okay.
This ain't alleged nothing.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
This,
but of course, you're not going to see an appeal because they're like, man, we really got away with one here.
Right. The
Ravens were upset that the news came out on opening day of camp and spoiled their camp goodness and happiness of being. Of, you know, of starting camp. So it was...
Don't be mad at the NFL, but be mad at Ray Rice.
You know, we get to see Ray Rice in the Dome this year.
But anyway.
Aaron Hernandez went to jail for...
Aaron Hernandez killed a few people.
Right, apparently this guy was the serial killer.
My question is, after beating his wife, is he going to wear the pink gloves in October?
Of course.
Wow. Darren Sharper, look what he did to people. Right. And I'm going to use that as a segue to tweets from the Twitter thing. Y'all are done talking about Ray Rice and telling inappropriate jokes.
I'm not on Twitter, so just keep talking.
Battering women.
No. We're not. No, look. I mean, we're not joking about battering women. We are highly, honestly.
I think it's fucked up that he fucking that he knocked his wife out. That's ridiculous. And or
gets no punishment.
His girlfriend now fiance and gets a two game. Well,
let me ask, what
you do in your personal life is your own business, but he does belong to a fraternity of football players that has upheld or is supposed to uphold a code of conduct that he broke.
Right.
I don't condone the NFL's measure.
Right, and the NFL's light punishment for such things, like Blaine was saying, or Cordy Fujita saying, that the NFL, you know, really showing its colors as far as its attitude toward the females. So,
if there was a female football player,
that's the thing. Like, how can you do that? Like, put yourself.
Goodell can do whatever the fuck he wants. Look what he did to us.
I understand, but like, right? How can you? I just cannot get inside that man's head. Like, how can you sit there and say, okay, that's what I'm going to do, say with the Saints situation, say with the marijuana people, say with the, what's his name that shot his own self in the ass?
Yeah, Plaxico. Right, yeah.
Plaxico was different because...
Ben Roethlisberger.
Hold on. You know what? Because he is a trendy... He's a trendy guy. Goodell. You know, drugs are bad, guns are bad. You know, concussions are bad. But that beating wife, but that's not trendy right now. That's not trendy. So I don't give a fuck.
But do you understand, like, what he and he's gonna get away with it? Like, it's gonna be an oversight, and everybody's gonna pass it, gloss it over. He's right, and that's the sad thing. Like that he's gonna sit there and get away with not caring about women and then go and sell how many pink fucking jerseys?
Exactly.
Yeah, you could buy a pink Ray Rice jersey right now.
All
right,
so my question to you guys is if tomorrow you wake up, you turn on SportsCenter, and you see that Drew Brees put his wife in the hospital tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still a Drew Brees fan? Do you want to be our quarterback?
I mean, be really hypocritical if we.
No, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just like.
No.
Hey, wait a second. I've already gone on record saying that I'll take Hitler. I mean, so I can, you know.
Actually, you've also gone on the record that you don't like Drew Brees as a person, Damon. So you might be on public on
that.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, go back to San Diego.
Right. I already don't like Drew Brees, like you said, as a person, so.
All right. Is there anyone who can disconnect Damon at the moment?
No, I think if Drew Brees got suspended for being charged,
I would not have a problem with it. Exactly.
I would not complain about it like I complained about Sean Payton's suspension.
Exactly.
Suspension.
Right, which was unwarranted. That was unwarranted.
Anyway, I don't know why. Oh, it's a Northeast team. That's why. Okay. So let's go into tweets from the Twitter thing. There has been a flurry of Twitter activity today.
Cross the pond, because they are 8 hours ahead, so they have more time.
Yeah. They were drunk while we were spending the day waking up. So
wait a minute, I got drunk really early.
You did. What was the general topic of conversation, Jason? Because I'm trying to figure out where to come in. I don't want to read the entire thing, but they did ask about three strippers are better at ball handling than Roddy White.
Well, they mentioned who were the three best strippers in the city, and I was like, well, that's a Damon question.
Yeah. Near would like to know, Damon, who's the three best
strippers? Oh, it's been a while. I don't know. 10 years ago, I had your answer.
Or the club. What's the best clubs?
I mean, they're on Bourbon Street. I mean, Crescent City Cabaret used to be, you know, the best club, and Big Daddy's used to be awesome. It was nasty, but that's what you liked.
Maybe you liked.
And then Folly's Brigere, that was a great club when we were in high school. You know, they let 16 years old in, and
oh, that's nice.
Yes, and they were very touchy. They were old women with two teeth, but you were 16.
Why was this nice?
Because you were 16.
Oh,
you were 16.
You
didn't give a rat's ass,
because
right? I could get in and see some.
All it was about then was access.
Right, you know, see some naked ladies, and
it was more than a magazine.
Yep.
Exactly.
Thank you for the magazines, Damon.
You're very welcome.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's right. Damon was our magazine supplier.
Somehow Matt took the most.
That was
wow. Wow. Either he was covering up or he was taking the ones that had
the hard cock
so
in them.
Look at the guys. He was looking at the guys.
No lesbian porn.
Right.
He's like, no, that's good. Now I'll throw that back. Anytime he comes up to lesbians on the cover. Nope, that goes back in the pile.
Okay, so the other question that Nier asked, name all cornerbacks better than Lewis. All cornerbacks better than Lewis.
Lewis didn't make the Pro Bowl last year, but he played well enough to make it.
Yeah.
We saw that, you know, when he got hurt in the Eagles game, and we just sucked without him. Gave up a lot of yards once he left the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think he's definitely in the top 10. But as much as you might hate the guy, you probably need to put Richard Sherman in there. It's tough to argue. The guy's
he's good, but how much of Richard Sherman's popularity is
that's
based
all time.
On?
Not about popularity. It's just about being good. I mean, but he's good.
And the
he's really good. He's not good. He's really good.
It's not the system, right?
I mean. I don't know, but
I'm not gonna say Talib Kweli is the best, but I quib Talib's pretty
Talib.
Good.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, he shut down Jimmy Graham.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I guess would you? I don't know. Would you?
So
still
he's
put Revis?
Got. Well, he's the best then. But Talib shut down the best wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, tight end.
Would you still put Revis up there?
Yes.
Man, I know he had the injury in 12. Came
what
back
about
late.
Browner? I mean, what about his
I don't think I would put Revis above Lewis now.
How about Patrick Peterson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Patrick.
How about Honey Badger?
I mean, no. He's hurt, no. So I'm not going to mention him. But I'll say Sherman. I mean, that's number one in my book.
Yeah,
Jason said that first.
I don't pay attention to him when y'all speak. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, probably Peterson, just because he also adds the return game aspect to it.
I think Richard Sherman could be on that list.
Oh, do you think so, Doctor? But, I mean, look, I don't know all the cornerbacks. I don't have the list of the Pro Bowlers or the All Pros, even though I could just pull it up on my computer because, you know.
I want to know why Neer wants to know that.
Well, he's curious how good we think Keenan Lewis is compared to the rest. Keenan Lewis is a stud.
How about this? Why don't you message us and tell us why?
I think Neer's trying to write another blog post, and he wants us to do the research for him.
So?
I think that would be great, Neer. You should write something on it, and then you should actually reference the Dome Patrol podcast as one of your sources of information, and then we can kind of cross-promote each other. We'll mention the blog post after.
For the American audience of his columns, and he can help us with the European audience for our podcast.
That's right. Then his other question was best three restaurants in NOLA. That's really subjective.
It depends. It really depends on what you're looking for.
But since we do have Blaine here, and Blaine, you have worked in a few restaurants in NOLA over the last few years. Do you have any?
I'm gonna give a shout out to Darth Maul and give a shout out to Root on Julia in the Warehouse District.
Root was good.
Which is owned and operated by Saints fanatic Max Ortiz, who dresses as Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm. You know, that first year
you
we had
made a documentary on him.
I definitely did. I definitely did. But that's an amazing restaurant.
Think about when we had tickets in 04, he had tickets with us, right, on our row?
Yeah. Yes, he did. Then I guess the next.
He was an original 648er.
Somebody's got to take their medicine.
Or it's midnight. The next, next restaurant would be a Tapas restaurant on Frenchman.
Oh, a topless restaurant.
Tapas.
Now you lost Damon's interest.
Three Muses.
Okay.
Which
I like. You know what I like that you're doing too is you're not mentioning the easy answers like Mr. B's Bistro, you know, where everybody always says the same Dickie Brennan's, and because of advertising and marketing.
Just got to my toes because I was going to say the Palace Cafe as my third.
Oh. Whoopsie!
Just kidding. Self promotion. The third restaurant that I think I would go to in
Mr. John's Steak.
No, it definitely, probably Ruth's Chris.
Irene's?
No, Ruth's Chris.
Tommy's?
Ruth's Chris.
I always remember those old Ruth's Chris commercials in the Dome when you just hear the sizzle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, Damon knows remembers what I'm
talking about. It's a New Orleans restaurant. It was founded here in New Orleans, and it expanded worldwide, you know, so.
Look, I have to throw a restaurant in there that's definitely not it's not new. It's an old restaurant. I went to it yesterday for the first time. It's Willie Mae's.
Oh, yeah.
Scotch House.
Willie Mae's Scotch House.
Best fried chicken. Oh, it was absolutely delicious.
I can tell you one restaurant to stay away from.
Oh?
Which would be Gautreaux's on Soniette and Dryads.
Okay, wasn't planning on going there, so that's okay.
But,
Zia. I'm sorry. I still love Zia. Their corn grits.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Gary Darling, Greg Reggio, and Hans Lindberg definitely know what they're doing. Heads up. I mean, big props to the Taste Buds.
What else do they own? Is Cafe Rainy?
They own Semolina, right? The only one. Is there only one Semolina left?
I believe there's only one Semolina left, and I believe they own that. They just recently opened up a Mexican restaurant on...
Okay.
Is that Metairie Road where the old Salina was, where the crawfish was?
Okay.
It starts with an M.
I've heard about it.
Zuno?
Slippy, Slappy, Slimmin, Salmon, Simmon, Swanson?
Maybe it's on the briefcase. Look on the...
Oh, yeah! It's right here. Samsonite. I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Actually, hold on our last restaurant topic, that reminds me. Apparently, Bobby Hebert is opening a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Hebert's Cajun Cannon. It's going to be on Vets. Supposed to open up in time for the season, obviously.
I might eat there. I mean...
Well, of course, you got to go give it a try. Look, one of my favorite restaurants growing up was Champions by Morton Anderson in Lakeside Mall. I used to love that place.
And it was nothing special. It was just
just sports food. I mean, hamburgers, hot dogs, you know.
They had goalposts on the outside.
But they had goalposts. And Morton.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm actually planning there's a Stand Up to Cancer partnership that we have for my work, and we're planning a watch party at Manning's upstairs in the banquet
room.
That
is a nice restaurant. I enjoy Manning's, enjoyed it every time I've gone.
Mm-hmm. You can come to the watch party for $25.
Oh, okay.
Hang out with me.
What are we watching?
Bar. Stand Up to Cancer, the telethon, or whatever you call it, like the hour and a half, two-hour Stand Up to Cancer event on September the 5th. It's a Friday night at Manning's Restaurant, and it's $25 to get in.
Excellent.
And we're looking to sell 100 tickets.
And how do I purchase these tickets?
You go to Stand Up. You go to Stand Up to Finish the Fight, where in the 2 is the actual number 2. Stand Up to Finish the Fight.org, and you can search for, you'd have to enter your city because there's watch parties across the country. It's a partnership of the American Cancer Society and Stand Up to Cancer.
And I'm going to go ahead and segue on that.
Fuck the Falcons. No.
No. Actually, this is something a little more serious in New Orleans area. Bike safety. I actually had a close friend to me recently pass away. He was run over by an 18-wheeler while he was riding in a bike lane. And just want to let everybody know, if you're outside riding a bike, be very careful. Be aware of your surroundings. Even though you are in the right of way, cars are bigger than you, and they can run you over. Actually, I'd like to link his GoFundMe. We're trying to get him cremated and sent back home, if that's okay.
Where's home for him?
Home is in, I believe, Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. He was a 52-year-old man who moved to New Orleans on a bet and was here for 3 months and was tragically run over by an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, throw that URL out there.
So, if we can put that in the link, that would be amazing. We're close to getting enough money to get him back home, but he was a close friend of mine, and it was a tragic event.
Yeah, it's sad that he was in the bike lane, and the 18-wheeler hit him.
Is
there any accountability for the 18-driver?
The accountability would be put on the city of New Orleans for poor infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
The 18-wheeler actually had to cross over a lane of traffic and a bike lane to make a right turn. So we basically had to cross over two lanes of traffic.
Hmm.
And, yeah, it's sad.
I remember in Driver's Ed, and they said, you know, when you're driving, when you're on a bike, you're supposed to ride with traffic, whereas if you're walking, you're supposed to go against traffic. I've never liked that. I'm thinking if I'm doing anything, I want to go against traffic so I can see what's happening, right?
I disagree with that, because if you're going with traffic, the people that are going against traffic aren't looking for people that are going – or people that are driving aren't looking for people going against traffic, if that makes sense.
Okay. A little bit.
So if I'm making a right turn, I'm not expecting someone – I'm looking right – to see if someone's making a right turn, but I'm not.
Or left, where, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, besides
that,
back to football.
Yeah, so let's move that. That, you know, that fucking sucks, so let's fuck the Falcons. ¶¶
Fuck your little sister and your little brother. Fuck you. Fuck all your friends and everyone. Fuck you. Fuck your little puppy and your puppy dog. Fuck you.
Fucking Falcons. Actually, I think it was the Falcons' fault. The driver of the 18-wheeler is a Falcons fan.
Probably.
And, you know, so this goes to show you what kind of people the Falcons fans are.
That's right. The Falcons started the Hard Knocks recording this week, right?
I guess recording. So is the first episode actually this week?
I don't know.
The first episode is the Wednesday after... our first preseason game. Everybody's first preseason game.
No, it can't be that.
That would be for another
2 weeks.
I'm telling you, I tried to look it up. It's in August.
Well, it's going to take two or three weeks of filming the Falcons for them to get anything worth putting on television.
Oh, this is true.
For an hour.
They could show the underground mall or the Coca-Cola factory. That could kill like 15 minutes.
did you see the underground mall?
No, why would I ever go to Atlanta?
Okay, no. I said, but did you say the underground mall?
I did.
Okay, then you say you haven't been there. I have been there. That is not me. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's nothing. It's just a bunch of terrible stores underground. I mean, it's horrible.
It's like the Esplanade Mall underground.
No, it's not even. I mean. It's like Cortana Mall in Baton Rouge Underground. I don't get why they always talk about that in Atlanta. Atlanta is a shitty city with shitty football team.
And they don't believe in using air conditioners. The other thing that I'm excited about with the Falcons specifically is that on the first day of practice or camp, they had a fight breakout with their rookie, Jake Matthews, and linebacker Croy Bierman, or whatever his name is.
Croy Bierman, yeah.
Got in a little fight there.
It's probably because Matthews came in, first day of practice, he's like, what the fuck did I get drafted into? Fuck this.
Well, you know, Mike Smith is ready to get some tougher and stronger. And
toughness crusade, yep. Yeah,
fucking toughness crusade.
That's what somebody coined that on Twitter. One of the Saints fans coined that on Twitter. I forget who it was. So yeah, August 5th. August 5th of the first.
Yeah.
And what did I say?
Okay. Yeah, you said after the first preseason game.
Any other ways
before.
To fuck the Falcons?
They gave Roddy White an extension. They gave Roddy White a 4-year extension.
Oh yeah.
For I thought it was $30-40 million.
Why would you give Roddy White a 4-year extension?
Right. He's already 32 years old.
Drew Brees doesn't want to play until he's 45.
We gave Marcus Colston an extension last year, didn't we?
That was a bad idea 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Oh, it hurt. It hurt me. It hurt me on the inside.
Yeah, but he was younger than 32.
Something else that pisses me off. Somebody in the national media said that now that we have Brandon Cooks, we have a legitimate go-to receiver, as though we haven't had one.
We have a game breaker.
I almost agree with that. I mean, I don't say Colston was a go-to. Who was our go-to receiver?
Of course it was Colston. What do you mean? Are you done?
It was Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham. I mean,
he's not a receiver.
I mean, to me, Colston is a go-to guy, but I think the more apt term would be like breakaway, big, you know, explosive.
Right. Okay.
Right, well, then say that.
Well, he's not going
to. Right, but don't say go to.
Goes back to it's the same thing that I said on the last. No, it's the same thing I said in the last thing where the girl asked on NFL Network, well, who are the Saints going to throw to if they don't have Jimmy Graham? And then here, now we finally have a legitimate go to receiver. Drew Brees has thrown for 5,000 motherfucking yards more times than any other quarterback in a season. Okay, yeah, he spreads the ball out. But all of our receivers, the reason why maybe they don't know them or respect him is because he spreads it out, but they're all competent enough to catch the fucking ball and get 5,000 yards. So they're all go-to receivers. How's that? Who is he going to throw to? He'll throw to whoever he fucking wants to throw to.
I agree with you, and that can be proven. How many receivers have we had that caught our Super Bowl year? How many receivers caught a touchdown pass? It was in the 20s? Or how many players? No.
Yeah, we had a shit ton of different players catch a touchdown.
I think Jerome Payson caught a touchdown.
It was hard for me to count. I remember.
Fullbacks, third string tight ends, you know, four or five running backs. Yeah, a lot of
that
people.
That just goes to show you how great Drew Brees is as a quarterback.
He's pretty impressive. I mean, it's another reason why I want to get another Super Bowl with this crew and this regime, pump them up. But they do seem to be pretty confident about themselves. They did say practicing up there, the weather, they said they were mentally sharp because they didn't have to worry about the heat.
And I kind of agree with that. I've practiced in the heat before, and it's really hard to concentrate on what the task is at hand when you're trying not to pass out, you know? Yeah. So I could imagine, yeah. But will they be ready to play when preseason comes because they're practicing in ideal conditions? You know, I do think 110 degrees will set
you. Well,
they
play in ideal position temperature anyway in the dome.
Well, but they will.
All I'm saying though is when you practice in subpar conditions and then when you play in ideal conditions will seem not so hard.
Now, they will have another couple weeks practicing back in Metairie after the first preseason game, so they will get exposure to the August Louisiana heat. It's not a full training camp.
That I did not know.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
There you go. Okay. Anybody got final thoughts, Jason? I'll throw it at you.
I think the first practice with pads is tomorrow, I believe, Sunday. So we'll see if – I mean, like, every play is going to be overanalyzed. Plays are – you know, everybody tweets the certain nice plays that happen. But, mm-hmm. you know, just want them to look sharp. And I didn't realize we had such a long time until the first game. But
all right, Damon.
I'm ready to – I'm in football mode now. I'm fucking ready.
Baseball's boring, and soccer's over, so yes, I'm ready for football.
Damon?
Look, everybody else, football is finally here. We're not waiting. It's here. It's so nice.
What about the World Cup?
Damon didn't really care much for the World Cup.
Luckily for us, the World Cup is over.
Damon, you speak with a Latin accent, and how could you not like soccer? I mean, it's not in your blood.
That's the first time I've ever heard such a thing.
I mean, it was racist, but hey.
I've never been accused of speaking with a Latin accent.
I always thought Damon was Italian for the first 10 years of knowing him.
Actually, I thought he was Mexican, but
and actually, all of our
racist. So,
and then. All of our listeners feel like he's the mafioso as well. That's more tweets from the Twitter thing.
They thought he was in that background scene at the Bada Bing.
Yeah. In any case, those are your final thoughts, everyone? I don't have final thoughts.
And now, final thoughts.
By Jack Handy.
I got some final thoughts.
Oh, did I not offer you a final thought? I'm sorry.
No.
Throw a final thoughts.
Fuck Atlanta.
Okay, so final thought.
And I love everybody else.
God bless New Orleans and no place else. I think everybody else can live with that. Huh?
Yeah, sure.
That's all the stuff for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast. Check us out on Facebook by searching for Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, there is, of course, the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, off-season donkeys.
And if you're looking for a friend, email me at bbilling17@gmail.com.
What?
Good night, Hootat Nation.